Dear Lord, we just are so grateful that we can meet here together today, and we talk about Genesis and talk about how we can see a New Testament in this book. And Father, I pray that as I try and share this message this morning, that we would see Jesus, we would see the person of Christ. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear these words and have them go in one ear and come out the other. But Lord, I do pray that you would challenge us and equip us to live our lives every single day as Christians. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you can probably tell, we could have spoken about any number of topics this morning. Genesis is such a big book. It's such a rich book, and there is a lot of stuff in there. So this morning, we're just going to focus on one particular theme that runs right throughout the whole book of Genesis. That's what we're going to be discussing this morning. And this theme that we're going to look at is the theme of living by faith. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, living by faith. Now, there's two aspects that we will consider today on this particular topic. The first one is the need to have faith in order to be saved. Okay, you might think, how do you get that out of Genesis? Well, let me tell you, Genesis is actually a great book for understanding how we need to have faith in order to be saved. So let me click on to this next one for us. So we start out in the book of Genesis with creation, and everything is good. That's what God says. He looks back, he says, very good, and he has a rest. That's what happens in the beginning of the Bible. There is no need for anyone to be saved yet. It's all good. That's what we see at the start of Genesis. We only have to fast forward two chapters before we see everything go wrong. The serpent, he comes alongside Eve and deceives her. And so Adam disobeys God. They take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everything changes. They disobeyed God, and sin came into the world. And this is why we need to be saved. Sin, let me tell you what sin did to us. It enslaved us. We are enslaved to sin until we come to Christ. That's the truth. Number two, it estranged us from God. We were actually close with God in the garden. They walked with him, but then they were cast out of the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. And the third thing we see that happens coming through this disobedience is death. Death comes for all human beings. That's the truth. These are the things that have come into the world on account of sin. Our world is broken, and we need to be saved. And we cannot be saved by being a good person. We cannot be saved by coming along to a church service. We cannot be saved by being baptized. We can't be saved by doing good things. We need to be saved by faith. By faith through God's grace. And Genesis, again, is a wonderful book. It's a beautiful book for helping us to see that we are not saved by who we are as people. We are saved by who God is and what he has done for us in his grace. So think about the patriarchs and many of the other people in the book of Genesis. They were a motley crew of people. Many of them were pathological deceivers, constantly lying. Some of them were murderers. Some of them were adulterers. Many of them were cowards. That's the people that we see in the book of Genesis. They are very flawed and deeply, deeply sinful people, just like all of us. But here's the wonderful thing, the grace of God. If we were to enter into God's kingdom in its fullness now, if we beamed up to heaven, or if Christ returned and ushered in the new heavens and the new earth, many of these same people would already be in the kingdom of God because of their faith. Murderers, adulterers, liars, cowards. And that's because we are not saved by what we do. We are saved by what Christ has done for us. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's true. Jesus Christ came. He was a perfect person. He always obeyed the will of his Father, God in human flesh. And he became sin. Murder, adultery, all these other things. our failures, our sins. He became these things. And God the Father condemned that sin on the cross. He killed Jesus. That's what happened. The Romans might have done it, but God abandoned him to this fate. That was God the Father condemning sin in the flesh, so that whoever believes in him doesn't perish. They no longer are considered sinful. God looks at them and sees the righteousness of Christ. That's what is counted to us. Our sin counted to Christ. Every single sin we ever do counted onto him. Penalty paid in full. His righteousness counted to us. And so that's how sinful people can be saved. Not by anything we do, except for believing in Jesus, believing in his death and resurrection. So that's the first aspect of faith that we need to consider this morning. Let me click on to the next one and we'll consider the second one. Now, the next thing that we see in Genesis is the people in it, they live by their faith every single day. It's not just they get saved, they believe a thing, and then that's all the end of it. They actually live by faith, and it impacts the decisions they make and the lives that they live. Let me give you some examples. Noah, somebody mentioned Noah earlier. Think about his story. He lived in the middle of a desert country, and God told him to build a gigantic boat. They'd never seen a flood event like that ever before, and we've never seen one since. He was told to prepare for a once in the whole of history of human existence, he was told to prepare for this thing, gather up all the animals. People, no doubt, called him an idiot. Why are you doing this? You're silly. You live in a desert. But for Noah to live by faith, he had to do something in preparation for an impossible event that he could not even imagine. But that's what it looked like for him to live by faith, trusting God at his word. The next example that we have is Abraham. Now, Abraham, let me tell you this, his family, they worshipped foreign gods. He wasn't hanging out, praying, coming along to the church service. His family worshipped other gods. And then the God of the Bible, the living God, spoke to him and he said, uproot your family and go to a land that I will show you. So try and imagine that. Imagine God just saying, uproot everything, go to a place you've never seen it. You don't even know what it looks like. You don't know the way to get there. But this is what Abraham was asked to do. And he did. He walked by faith. That's the way that he went. Later on in his life, he was over 100 years old. And God said to him, this one's a real kicker, real challenging thing. You need to sacrifice your son Isaac. Go up that hill and sacrifice your son. Now, that is a very difficult thing for us to think about, particularly if you have kids. But let me tell you this, two things. One, God never intended for him to sacrifice Isaac. And the second thing is this. This actually gives us a template for what Christ is one day going to do. A loving father sacrificing his son for the sake of others. So this is a pattern that we see established right here in Genesis. That's what the function of this challenge was, to test Abraham and to give us a window into what was going to happen with Jesus. But he doesn't know any of that. He has to march for 3 days thinking, I'm about to go sacrifice my son. But you know what? He did it. Because the book of Hebrews tells us this. He was so confident that God keeps his word that if he killed Isaac, God was going to raise him from the dead. That's what Abraham believed. Because he'd also said, I'm going to use Isaac to be the father of many nations. What I've promised to you, I'm going to carry this out through him. So if he was killed, God's still going to have to keep his word, so he's going to have to come back alive again in order for God to keep his word, which he always does. But this is what Abraham believed. He walked by faith in this example. Now, there's just a little quick one there with Isaac as well. So he, later on in his life, he actually couldn't see very well. And there came time to bless his sons. And he was a little bit unsure because he couldn't see. But he blessed. For him, that was the wrong son, but for God, it was the right son. He did this not because he could see what he was doing, but because he trusted in God and he trusted that this is what he was supposed to do. So in each of these examples, we see these people living by their faith. What you have is they trust God. They actually trust him. They believe him. The second thing we see is that they obey him. They obey his word. his commands. And third thing is they step out. Many of them stepping into the unknown, preparing for the impossible. Or in Abraham's case, he has to believe the impossible. But that's actually what it looks like to walk by faith, to live by faith in your everyday lives. So we're just about finished this morning. It's a bit shorter because we've got the kids in here with us. But you might be thinking, well, what does this all mean for me? Like, how do I apply this to my own life? Well, if you're sitting here and you think, well, I actually haven't put my faith in Christ yet. If that's you, then you have not yet been saved from sin and death. And that's a problem. But we can solve that problem right now. If you believe, put your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, then you can be saved. That's the truth. We all need to be saved. And I mean, read the Bible. Test the story out. Ask hard questions if you need to. But if this is you, don't just ignore this story. There's still this problem of death, and we have to come up with a solution for it somehow. I believe that the Christian answer is the true one. We believe in him, and we have eternal life. We have salvation from death. So that's what I would encourage you to do if you have not yet believed in this message. And secondly there, if you're already a Christian and you're thinking about how to live by faith, then even though we shouldn't necessarily follow the moral examples of some of the people in Genesis, we can actually follow their example of faith. They trusted in God. They obeyed his word. They obeyed his leading. And they stepped out into the unknown. So if you are making a big decision in your life, or if you have a big decision to make, maybe ask yourself this question: how can I trust God with this decision? Maybe it's like Abraham, a move or a change, like a change of job, or even like a change in a relationship that you have. Like, bring those things to God and ask him this question: how can I trust you in these areas of my life? And the last one is from Abraham there. He had this, it was the potential to be an idol, his love for his son Isaac. So God tested him. Maybe there's something in each of our lives which has become an idol to us. We love this thing so much that it draws us away from Christ. Maybe you need to sacrifice that on some altar somewhere. But at least ask, how can I trust God with this thing in my life which is taking my love away from him? So we're just about finished this morning. I hope you can consider those questions and be challenged by them. I want to finish with a little story of something that happened to me yesterday. I was driving back from Warwick, and I saw this side road, and I thought, I wonder if I can get back to Gatton on this road. And it started out pretty good. It was just a thin bitumen lane, and then it became a dirt road, and I still wasn't worried. And before I knew it, it was mud, very muddy. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can turn around if it gets too tough for me. I'll just show you the bottom of my car as well to see how much clearance I've got. Not much. So I kept driving another 10 minutes, and it just kept getting more uneven, more potholes, and they were on one side and not the other, and I don't have a lot of clearance there. And so I actually began to sweat. I'm like, oh, I've gotten this far, but I don't know if I can get back. And if it gets worse, like, or if I pop a tire, this is going to like ruin my whole day. I didn't even have phone reception out here. And I kept driving, and it literally just kept getting worse. There was even grass that was coming up in the middle of the tracks that my car was pushing over. So anyway, there's me sweating, not because it was hot, but because I was just worried about getting home. But then it struck me, like, this is actually the same thing as what it means to walk by faith. Not that I trusted in God and he got me through the track. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I didn't know what was down that road. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know if there was going to be something that was going to be hard to get through. The stuff that I had already been through scared me. But do you know what? I just kept going. And that's actually what it looks like to walk by faith. If we know what God's word is, and we know that he's leading us in a certain direction, even if we don't know what it's going to turn out like, we have to trust him and walk that way. That's what it looks like to live by faith. So that's all that I've prepared for you guys this morning. Let me pray, and then we'll finish up our service. Thanks, guys. Let's pray. Loving Father, it's very easy for me to get up here and talk all about how we need to trust you, but It's very hard to do that. Many of us like to be in control of our own lives. We like to be the boss. But Lord, we just need to have your help in actually surrendering this. If there's any one of us here this morning that just struggles with not being in control, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to actually let go and trust you. It sounds cliche, but to give you the wheel. Father God, I really want to pray that we would live incredible lives of faith, not just ordinary lives of faith, but incredible lives of faith because of the way that we trust you, despite what people around us say, despite what is before us that we don't even know and we can't even imagine it. And Lord, I just thank you for our young people as well. They're on this journey of faith too, and I just want to pray for them, Lord, that you would lead each one of them and guide them. Help them to know you and trust you as a Lord and Savior. And so, Father, I thank you for this morning, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Kelly and the team back.